Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. We're doing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. 1989 was ground zero for the Ninja Turtles. That was their year.
And you could tell because the Transformers franchise collapsed.
Transformers never had that toy. You had to, like, strap your Ninja Turtle under a toilet that had slime flushed down the toilet. That actually happened. Look it up.
I remember a few years ago, they were selling in stores, like, the original molds for the Ninja Turtle toys. And I was like, I gotta get all of these. I'm gonna relive. And then, and like, at a certain point, I'm like, wait a second. I'm not gonna use this. Like, this is garbage.
You mind if I kind of bring focus back to the game real quick?
If you have to.
Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge and lay maintain with a course aimed at colleges. To HG 101, we give the honor. Thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Ogre Hart and others. Discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and Fluffy wrote a book about it. Go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease. And add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power.
Hey, what are you suggesting?
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. On this episode, we're going to be talking about a game called Monster Prom. Who's with me to talk about Monster Prom?
I'm Bobinator.
I'm Carl.
And I am a recovering from illness word on the wind.
But we couldn't do it without her. So, quite literally, she might kill one of us. Maybe two. A little Monster Prom humor for you.
Death.
That's about what a lot of the jokes are like, though. You gotta admit. This game was nominated by Pastel Dactyl, which is a fun thing to say out loud. It was developed by Beautiful Glitch and published by Those Awesome Guys.
That's actually their name, to be clear.
For the PC. And its release date was April 27th, 2018.
Wow, 18. That's wait, what? That's a recent game for us.
It's very recent.
Yeah, it's pretty recent. So, Monster Prom, I'll just get us started with what kind of game it is. It's like a dating sim, basically. And it's what's kind of unique because I don't know, maybe this is like something that a lot of dating sims do, but you can have more than one player at a time.
No,
that is basically Monster Prom's claim to fame in that it is a multiplayer speed dating sim.
It's like player versus player in that where you just start making out with each other right on like the couch.
You can interfere. You can interfere with other players in this game, but there's not really any incentive to do so. It's just you can if you're a dick. And
no, I was just thinking about
if that's like your inclination, you might realize that you're latently a high school bully and you should seek therapy.
It's more like it's almost simultaneous single player. It's not quite. There's a little overlap, but it's more of a group experience game if you want to just play it together and read what's going on and laugh at the different interactions between the different characters. It's got a Euro board game feel. It's just that you can throw a little bit of shade at other players, but other than physically ribbing people in meat space.
Yeah, that's more of what I was thinking. It's like, instead of trying to like date the monsters in the game, you could like just like maybe we really love each other.
One thing I
should point
out,
the ultimate multiplayer.
One thing I think has brought this game well. Everybody can win if you play your cards right. It's not like one person wins and everybody else just has to lose. It doesn't work like that in this game.
So we got to kind of like reverse a little bit and circle back to it's a dating sim, but it takes place in a monster high school. And
in what I assume is Monster World. I don't know. I don't know the setting exactly.
I mean, you don't see, it's not a Westone joint. So
it's kind of like in the way that like Hotel Transylvania sort of operates, where monsters just kind of congregate in their own communities away from human territories.
It is very Hotel Transylvania. Yes. I'd assume like probably a lot of our listeners have not seen or even really paid attention to it, but that's, if you have kids,
actually,
the
original movie is actually pretty good. I watched that one.
I love getting
not bad.
I think I've seen all three of them, or at least I've seen the first and the last. And yeah, as far as like kids movies go, it's way better than a lot of the crap I have to watch. So
I mean, it's by the guy who made Samurai Jack. So you know what?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like it's very. We're talking about this. So
it's a
monster problem.
It's you're
he actually does a good job as Dracula.
You're in the
Spooky High.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The art style is pretty cute. You get to like, I think with the, there's like a, it's like a mixture. There's like classic kind of like, you know, Universal Studios horror type monsters. And then there's like more like esoteric monsters.
It really doesn't like care. It kind of just grabs whatever it wants from any period of time. It's set pretty recently, since you know they've got, you know, relatively modern technology.
It's also set in like a fantasy monster world where all the monsters are like going to high school together and keeping the evil in check. And
if you ever go to the library, which is how you get money, you acquire money oftentimes through Start Kicker.
Yeah, and Bitcoin mining, which
the good old online gambling. That's how you do it.
This game is very online, for lack of a better word. I'll say that.
It hates Start Kicker, by the way. I laugh. There's a lot of shade that they throw directly at crowdfunding and the demands of their customers, I guess, because they make a lot of jokes. I'm just going to mention some of the jokes just across the duration of this recording with Star Kicker that we made a bunch of money, but since you had to, you know, spend all the money doing the thing, you get $2.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. Well, that's what you did. But then they get to sell the game like forever after. So if it's successful, it just because you kickstarted the game, doesn't mean you have to like keep spending the money you earn on it like in perpetuity. No, it's like you got the game out there, so it's a pretty rare thing that you would have a game that you develop and then not have it cost you money to develop it, and then I don't know, it seems like
they throw a lot of shade. Yeah. So I don't know what's going on in the back end there, because it's more than once. It's not a little laughing thing
it's
very recent.
Yes, it does feel very recent.
Yeah, like you, I don't know if this is going to, if you wanted to boot this up in like 10 years, I think you'll be like, what is this?
We can get to that eventually. Like, let's kind of go through a little bit more about what's interesting.
10 years.
Like, one of the things I found interesting about the game is like, it's a very like, I guess you would say like forward thinking game. It kind of lets you do just whatever. It starts out and it's like, you can pick your character, you can name your character, you pick your like gender pronouns, so like you can just be whatever you want. And you just go from there, and like whatever, you know, I think this is kind of more common now in dating sims than maybe it used to be. Yeah. It's like, nobody's off limits. I don't think it's just whatever you're into. If you're into the werewolf jock kid, he's like the quarterback of the werewolf football
team. He's the nice one.
We should go over the candidates, because they're, you know, an integral part of the game.
They are the monsters of the monster.
I mean, do you have to go through all of them, or can you just say our favorites?
You three give
your favorites. I don't think it's a question who Bob likes, and I'll go last.
That's really mean to Bob.
I mean, I think you all expect it by now, let's be honest.
No, I don't know. Well, I don't pay attention to you kids. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I'll say...
Why are you gonna keep me hanging? Now I gotta know. You can't... in the listeners. What are you into? Like, what's... Name your monster.
Gonna kill word here.
Oh, no. I've laughed harder than that this evening.
I'm waiting.
Bob, you're first. Who's your favorite?
I'm pretty sure I made it pretty clear it's Scott the Werewolf. He's just a big dumbass, and I love him for that.
He's pretty good.
He's a character.
He's the only one that's, like, not kind of actively murdering people for the most part. Like, the other characters can be pretty, cruel, because they're monsters.
Yeah, it should be noted that every single character in this game is both a figurative and literal monster.
Which they play for comedy, because if they didn't, it would be seriously screwed up in so many ways.
Yeah, there's a lot of jokes about, like, why don't we just kill everybody? That's like at least 5 jokes I saw.
That's and at least half of them, that does actually happen. But it's okay, it works out!
It's okay.
It's totally fine to summon an interdimensional hell beast to make a party more active.
I mean, you can actually de-limb yourself, but it works out, so it's fine.
Everything works out in the end.
I say the character that I liked in the context of the game, I like Liam because he's a sourpuss. I really like
He's the vampire hipster, right?
That's right. He is the vampire hipster, and everything is lame and nothing is cool unless it's not cool and it's lame, then it's the coolest. And
I should have pinned you for a Liam liker.
I resonate very strongly with this. I'm like, that's right. That's right. Nothing is cool unless it isn't cool. Then it's cool. Now it's not. Great.
Yeah, Liam is totally the Bubsy liker of the cast.
Yeah, he would do that. Definitely. Unironically.
But not when Bubsy was new. Then it would have sucked because it was kind of popular.
No, but then once it becomes unpopular and still thinks it's popular, now it's hit.
He gets a lot of mileage out of that joke, yes.
Liam would have been one of those Amiga platformers like Super Frog.
I am actually also trying to point out the characters are a little, due to the nature of the way the game runs, they are kind of very... These are our personalities, and they just characters.
Yeah, this isn't like a. Mm-hmm. It doesn't strike me as a dating sim where you like learn secret things about the characters. And it's like, oh, they have hidden depths to them that I never would have guessed.
You'd be wrong about that. They do actually have depth.
We should say though, if it wasn't clear by now, this game goes all in on the comedy, and that's okay. I'm fine with that.
I mean, it seems fairly lightweight. For the most part, I didn't.
No, wait a second. Think, what kind of depth are we talking about here?
Like, you can actually learn about them and understand why they tick the way they do.
But it's not going to be like something like, I lost my dad when I was 6. It's not going to be like, because there's no room for that in this game. Like, you can't.
There is room for it, and I can explain that later, but let's keep on subject here. Xerxes, who's your favorite?
It'd probably be the werewolf guy was the funniest one.
I will admit, Scott's existential face is just kind of comedy gold on its own, regardless of anything he says.
Yeah, he has some of the funnier poses, I guess. He always looks so confused and happy at the same time.
Because, he's played like, you know, he's a werewolf, he's a dog kind of person, he's just...
But
yeah.
he's nice. Like, so yeah, he's not he's, like, it's not like he's a
He's too
jerk.
Stupid to be a jerk is what it amounts to.
I don't know. There's the Medusa girl who's kind of funny, but that gets, her whole thing is like she's like a cutthroat business entrepreneur or some kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's kind of some funny jokes there. I don't really know what the ghost lady's thing is.
Polly is a party goer who abuses everything, but can't actually abuse anything because she's a ghost, so she has to possess.
Yeah, I couldn't quite pin down what the deal with her was because sometimes she's like, well, I can't sit on that or I can't do that.
She's a bit bit random, really, isn't she? Just kind of, let's party, and then crazy hijinks.
She's the manic poltergeist dream girl of the game, I think.
Yeah, a little bit.
I thought her jokes were pretty funny, though. So
I think most of them do, well, not all the jokes land, but all of the characters do play a role in enabling the comedy. And I think that's probably one of the, no one shows up and I'm like, oh God, it's them. I hate them so much. I think the weaker characters are also relegated to being non-dateable side characters. I don't know if everyone is dateable in secret endings because
secret endings, and I think ultimately every character is dateable. I know the narrator is. Like the narrator but is the last thing, possible dating option.
With Monster Prom, you only have the core dateable cast exists. We've mentioned most, and there are a couple of left that we'll get to. And then yeah, there's the less the even more one note side characters who drop in to add a little bit of extra flavor when one of the core cast members can't carry.
There's this one character I don't want to say like, but I'm glad he's there. I forget his name. That word. Do you remember the Kappa?
We'll get there, because
okay.
He is a DLC character, and my favorite character is also a DLC character, Zoe, the interdimensional horror, who is quite possibly the best representation of a trans character I have ever seen in a game, because I can't
that
think
to
of
come
a
after interdimensional horror, but go ahead.
I mean, no, I want you to think about that. Like, what better metaphor for something that the common masses are not going to understand on a basic principle for a trans character?
Yeah, okay. All right, that's a much more positive interpretation than I was thinking. I was just like, that sounds really mean, but I guess if it's not mean-spirited, it's like actually meant to be sort of profound.
Like, it handles like her situation really, really well. And I adore everything about the character.
The DLC, how does it integrate into the actual game?
So the DLC is called Second Term, and it is something that just gets added onto the game. And when you start a new game, you can either do the original game or you can do Second Term, which adds a whole new selection of characters, two new primary candidates, and adds and removes certain events that can occur. There are actually events in the original game that would lead to the existence of the two added characters, and those are, you know, naturally not available to run into in Second Term.
Because I think I may have done the actual event, because the way the game has extra stuff is it's possible to start event chains in them. The game takes place mm-hmm. over a few weeks leading up to Monster
the
Prom.
The actual Monster
for those
Prom,
of you
yes.
actually want to know yes, everyone wants to know what's going on. And so you are trying to ostensibly not go to the prom by yourself. That's the plot.
And yet, going by yourself is an entirely valid option.
That's especially, I think, there. If you just know that you're like, I have botched this whole thing. I will not embarrass myself.
There are good and bad endings for going alone.
Because, yeah, you get, if you fail, you fail. The character's like, I would date you in hell, loser. And then they...
But that's okay, because we're monsters!
Yeah, you can get dunked on pretty hard if you don't make it with a candidate.
It's the, like, meanest part of the game. Like, yeah. They really kick you down. Like, you go on a date with your hand. Like, god damn.
It's kind of oddly brutal, but it does kind of fit the game's sense of humor. It's...
Yeah, I think the idea is because I thought it's that prom sort of culture where if you are rejected and then it's like this whole like kind of 80s movie thing, I guess, which is like you are the biggest loser now.
I had a special event go on that I wasn't aiming for with Damien, the demon prince, where he wanted me to go to prom with him so he could kick my ass publicly. And I didn't have the bold score to back it up, so I just waited and got my ass beat.
You should probably talk about that score mechanic thing.
Yeah, we should probably talk about the game a lot.
So the way it broadly works is you have six attributes: smarts, creativity, boldness, charm, fun, and wealth. And there are six locations on the campus that you can go to. Each is correlated directly to one of those scores, and just going there will raise it by two. After you've gone there, an event will play out, depending on what your current favor with given candidates are and what location you went to, and you will be presented with a two-option scenario that will broadly either raise your favor with one of two candidates, depending on your option, or with only a single candidate, depending on how it's playing out. And if you pass the check for a given option, you will gain extra stats. But if you fail to pass the check, you'll actually lose stats.
That was something that I found was a little bit hard to figure out. Some of the questions can be a little bit confusing based on the fact that you just said the stats. And it sometimes is hard to match up the stat to the actual the thing that it's going to check against. I think that's intentional to kind of throw a curveball sometimes at you.
Yeah, like, that's definitely deliberate, because some things might seem just as much charming as they are creative, or bold as they are smart.
And then it'll be like, boldness failed! Like, uh-oh. Dang it.
The two-player aspect of it, I think, is what interested me the most.
I should point out it is up to four-player.
Oh my god, that would take forever.
No, it actually really, goes pretty quickly.
Really?
The game shrinks a little bit. How do they do it so quickly? If you play it single player, it gives you 6 weeks before the prom. I think all the other ones, you've only got 3 weeks? Is that right?
On a long game with three or four people, there are 3 weeks, yes.
Yeah, so you do. It does actually have a little bit of truncation for if you're playing with more than one person. Because 6 weeks with that many people would be a long, long game.
Yeah.
Also, pretty cool. This is one of the little... why I describe it as a Euroboard game is this is where you can barely interact with people because you can't visit the same location as someone else, right? Right. So if you and someone else are trying to get extra boldness and you end up going before them, you're like, well, screw you, boldness. And
there's also a shop, and if anyone purchases a thing, it's not purchasable by anyone else, and I actively sabotaged another player because they were after the same person I was, and their path involved buying an item, which I'm not going to say in this review because it's going to make it sound way worse than it is.
It has, as we said, it is very current, but it's also very... I was shocked, actually. Like, I thought, Monster Prom! We mentioned Hotel Transylvania. I thought it was going to be cutesy.
Oh, no.
And it's a little cutesy.
Oh, no.
But do not... kids play this. Oh my goodness.
This is very much a for adults game. Like, there is, like, several of the special endings with the prime candidates involve, like, tasteful nude poses.
I can say it's not ever, like, straight up porn, but that, I mean, it is, I would say, an M-rated game for language alone.
Oh yeah.
In
Australia, it would actually end up either MA or R, because there are positive uses of drugs in the game, so we hate that here.
Yep.
We hate that! Whoa.
Yeah, you can just straight up go to the cat lady merchant and just buy cocaine.
I like that, because, yeah, she's got all these fantasy items and all this bizarre stuff, and it's just... pound of cocaine. It's cocaine.
Yeah, this like, in case you, like, anyone out there is, like, possibly getting nervous about trying this, like, if this all sounds like a slew of lowbrow humor, don't worry. It's mixed in with a lot of shockingly highbrow humor also. It just runs the gamut of
example,
like, entire
please?
Range.
I didn't
example of the highbrow stuff. Well, obviously Liam is a very smart individual full of intelligence and well in sight. No,
I'm just going to say that the robot character in the DLC being told that one of the vending machines has a crush on him and him not understanding how to convey that he just doesn't feel that way about her felt pretty good to me.
That is pretty clever.
He expresses through binary, right?
That's one of the options, yes.
It does some stuff where... sometimes it's got some really, like, oh, that's actually, like, it's very clever. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's infectiously lowbrow, I guess, is the only way I could really call it. Mm-hmm. Like, part of this, I'm sitting there, I'm like, this is so stupid, I want to hate this. Ha ha ha, damn it, I want to hate this.
Yeah, like, a lot of these jokes, if, like, you were just kind of like to see them out of context, you might not really appreciate them fully. But when you're just in, like, the zone of playing the game and you're just rolling with all of the stupid that it throws at you, it's just like, nah, this is good. This is fine.
Yeah, it's got a charming way about it that it works very well.
I will say,
and talk about the game.
I will say, I don't think the humor is going to be, like, everybody's cup of tea in a lot of cases. It's very very modern.
I think it kind of
very
knows its audience, because if you would be like, ooh, a game where you date horrible monsters and it's very progressive in its presentation of its various pieces,
more,
then you'll probably be, like, also into its kind of humor, I think.
Like, there are a lot of jokes that you would probably not get unless you hung around the internet a whole lot in the year 2018 and beyond.
I would almost not believe that anyone that would buy this game has not done exactly that, though.
Like, yeah, I think...
like, I will say, like, a good amount of humor would definitely be assisted by such a thing, but there are just such a wide variety of jokes that I would not call it mandatory.
Also, the certainly the I don't know the insane fish princess.
Like, oh, Miranda! Before the DLC hit, she was my favorite.
She does not make too many contemporary references. She's got a bit more. She doesn't understand the common folk, and so she's just kind of clueless.
She has serfs who eat for her. And she has a silverware collection.
That's going to be one of my only complaints that I really have, is I don't know if you can skip red text, because I got that silverware conversation like a dozen times. I'm like, okay, this was kind of funny, but it's not my favorite one, and now I'm reading it again, because you got to, we also didn't mention you do actually have the lunchroom meetings, where you get a whole extra different set of interactions with the characters.
You choose which, is that the one where you choose which table you sit at?
The lunchtime, that's the way the lunchtime mechanic works is, compared to the campus business, instead you just select a table. One table will always have the shop. One table will tend to have non-primary candidates, and that exists strictly to raise your stats. And then the rest of the tables will have
cool items from those as well.
And then the rest of the tables will have two candidates, and you simply pick an option and you will gain favor with one of them. No check involved.
Yep. I guess we could probably move on to ranking it.
I've been thinking about that.
Can I mention, since you've got the other characters, this is a video game, so there is actually a strong video game joke in there. There is the protagonist, or whatever the hunter is called.
And the demon hunter.
Yeah, who is, like, constantly invokes, like, aha, you can't beat me or kill me, because I'm the protagonist, and I'm a hero.
Like, I need to kill you to get experience to level, and et cetera.
And you literally can't. They're like, oh, no, it's them. We can't stop them. I found it really funny as a drop-in character, because it's a little bit of video games in there. The one thing before we rank it, because I know you didn't play this part, Xerxes, is if you do play multiplayer, it does do a whole weird, like, little side board game thing where you, you get, like, to determine turn order, you actually do, like, a little, I don't know, like,
if you've ever played the game,
throws you a question.
If you ever played the game Outburst, where you make nonsensical arguments amongst one another, and whoever makes the best argument wins, that's basically what it is.
That's really fun. That's really where you kind of get into the playing with your friends aspect of the game, and just kind of goofing around on the side.
And there's another large multiplayer aspect where if...
yes, that's right.
Where you can either have one player call upon the stats of another player while the stats are hidden to have them attempt a check. And if they, you know, select a passing other player, then both gain stats. Or if two people are competing for the affections of the same candidate, the candidate will ask this third party, hey, which should I go with? Which, you know, that's gonna result in some direct stares at one another.
So
I did find that is funny. That bit is cut out of the single player, which is a bit of a shame, since there's some funny dialogue to be had from the confession to a different player lines. I thought that was kind of cool. I think that's just missing rank time.
Yeah. So
yeah, I've been thinking about ranking. Okay. So at 246, we got Zodnos, the People's Party.
I think
the closest game to compare.
This deserves to be at least in the 150 zone minimum.
Whoa,
oh, come on, wait a second. It's not that.
Fight
150
me.
150 zone?
At least.
I can't fight you. You're ill. That's not fair.
Fight me.
I'll do it.
Okay, well, go ahead.
So it should go above Zodnos. I think that's fair as a start.
I think we should at least compare it a bit to Zodnos. Firstly, we don't know if anyone's listened to the Zodnos recording at this point. What the hell is Zodnos? You can't just be like...
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
Wasn't that a bonus episode. So if you want to know, you got to pay money.
It's a 3DO party game. It's actually really, really good.
It is shockingly good.
That's the only reason, like, whoa, is that 3D, hold on.
Yeah, a 3DO party game that's mostly FMV is pretty impressive. That's so many, like, but like I've said before about Saturn games and other things that are on, like, consoles that you probably don't want to, you know, try, like, it might not be worth, like, investing money in. Like, that could also be a negative, because it's like there's like one, you know, really good 3DO game and you really got to see it. But yeah, you know, I mean, at least the 3DO,
it's like, also only good with multiple people.
Yeah,
as well,
emulating it's no problem, but yeah, with
yeah,
I don't know. I enjoyed this game for a time, but I have very limited patience with dating simulators. And it's not like because I think they're not.
It is halfway a dating simulator. It rushes through it very quickly. It's not a long form dating
simulator. Yeah.
It's actually almost like quite a roguelike, but it's very like, yeah.
The projection of time for a 4-player long game is 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's is, not a long affair.
I believe it.
That's I think that's pretty decent. For
I think that's a good number to aim at. Any more than that.
It does other cool things with the multiplayer that we haven't mentioned where it like has like it'll switch up whose turn goes first based on kind of like it's kind of cheap, but it's like
what you do with the questions system.
Yeah, it's like it asks a question like, all right, now be honest, you had the funniest answer, and like, you know, it relies on the goodwill of the players, but
you can also pick random if you just hate fun. You can,
yeah.
Pick
I think that's not in the spirit of the game, though. I mean,
answer is you'd pick random if nobody's answer really meshed with the question upon the reveal of the question.
Yeah, I did that a couple of times where it's just
how about we make our new floor Civil War II generals? Because nobody but Clay is going to fight for that game.
But what he said about that one.
Xerxes did.
What he said. I didn't really enjoy the game particularly. But
who enjoys Civil War games? Sorry,
everybody. Clay did. I mean, look, it's his whole thing was that was a game that was like, it's still kind of like the gold standard for whatever that kind of gamer likes about those games. And it's like, it's been out forever, and it's like, people are still modding it and stuff like to make it, because it's better, it hits kind of a sweet spot. So I don't think that you can just throw that, like...
Also, like, 171 is Illblade, which is a pretty high game.
It is, and it also has one very important feature that this game does not.
I think this game does have, though, several Dogsbauer-esque characters.
It absolutely does.
Dogsbauer is... only works if he's the only Dogsbauer-esque character. If there's multiple Dogsbauer-esque characters, it's like they just, you know, it's like they all clash with each other. Then it's all crazy. I don't know.
Dogsbauer would totally hang out with the coach in this game.
Yeah.
He would be all in with
Dogsbauer's like, I'm going to do it with a ghost.
Like, hell, you can be the Dogsbauer-esque character if you want. How many games give you that option?
Not Civil War II Generals.
Wait a second, you don't know that there's probably an expansion that we don't fan created module where it's like Dogsbauer fights the Punic Wars or whatever, you know. And if there isn't, I will make one. So yeah, I mean, look, this game has a few clever ideas. It's pretty funny. I don't want to rank it based on humor because like it's very subjective.
All right, well, here's a better one for you. You used the words forward thinking earlier. This game is, you know, absolutely one of the best representations of trans, non-binary, and, you know, non-het characters I have seen in any amount of recent gaming or even non-recent gaming. I can't think of anything better than this game.
I think the game presents a deliberate irony in that the characters are all kind of mostly horrible monsters, but they are at least... totally cool with, you know,
they're down whoever whatever, whatever they yeah
they're just like, yeah, you do you anyway. I'm just gonna
like
go murder
I'm just scrolling through
bye.
Like endings for this game, which I should have done before we recorded, but one of them is just like a straight up orgy with all the characters.
Oh yeah. So I mean, every dating sim's got one of those. Like I should point out that like for like all of the horribleness for all of them are they like they always like throw stuff out there like, you know, like not paying your artists is absolutely terrible. You should always pay your artists. And like, you know, other things like that.
Yeah.
They all have their own ethical standards that they adhere to.
I mean, mm-hmm. I guess maybe forward thinking is the wrong word. Maybe the word we're just looking for is just like radically inclusive, right? Yeah. It's like it's attempt to like It's not like a cynical way of like, oh, I'm going to like be all things to all people. It's more like just, no, like it's a game that's about, it's like a, it's, you know, light, feels, fluffy, fun game about romance. Know? We want people to just do whatever they feel like. Probably recognizing that for some players, like I think most of us, it doesn't really matter because you just want to see what the game has to offer you. That's kind of the fun. Like if you really enjoy the humor of this game, you're going to go for every possible option. Because you want to see it all.
It is a bit tricky to go for all the options, I think. That's since
not
it's,
according
it,
to
it
the orgy.
Fairly random.
No, so... yeah, I mean, but that said, like, I don't... it's more like a...
Are you talking like, are you trying to figure out how notable of a benchmark it is? Or the
I'm just talking about the game itself. Like, it's just in terms, like, it's cool what they did. I don't want to, like, I'm not going to say otherwise. I'm just kind of, it's more like, I don't know. Like, it's hard for me because I just don't enjoy dating games that much.
I mean, that's fine if you don't, but, you know, that's just one perspective.
Yeah, but I mean, like, go ahead.
And this offers so much more than just being a dating sim.
Can we not, maybe, like, not look at this so much as a dating sim, just as a good party game?
Yeah, it absolutely
is. Honestly, I think if you look at it as a dating sim, I do think that it, because of the unstructured format of it, it is a little weaker, especially if you have to play through the game. Like, yeah, you're expected to, but you have to play through it a lot to get through, like, a lot of the conversations. Since you'll only get, you know, you'll only get, like, I don't know, like, a dozen or two dozen conversations per... Well, more than a dozen, but, you know, you'll only get so many conversations, only learn a little bit about the characters in a single run. And, so,
like, another thing would be, like, it is, it's cool what they, what it does with the genre, but I don't know, like, is it really, we don't really have any other dating sims on this, do we?
Not really. Does Neko Jishi count? That's like 300s, though, so, you know.
I don't even remember doing that one.
You weren't on that one.
I don't think
one.
You were on that. You date cat boys.
Oh, yeah. Okay, no. Yeah, I remember it now.
I remember dating cat boys.
Yes, I remember it very clearly, in fact. No, it's...
I mean, it's obviously... It's better than that. I'm just trying to think, you know, like... I mean, for me, it's... I appreciate it, but it's definitely... I'm
like, have we done... We haven't done Hatoful Boyfriend, right?
We have no,
because that is that is a wild ride right there.
It is a wild ride.
I think it's
so. Here's my opening bid: 120 displacing gunpoint.
Okay.
I mean, you're putting that's like above Demon Souls. It's above Hollow Knight.
It's like, how many games of the last like 20 episodes we've done have gone in like the top like 200? Like, this is just getting crazy.
I mean, you're crazy, because we did, like, Halo the other week. Like, you know, we did Halo, Ocarina of Time. These have been some high games.
I think it's, like, if you go up that high, I think we got to start, like, putting our... I got to start putting my foot down on this, and including on my own opinions, because...
I got to put my foot down, because I don't know if I'm comfortable with it going with Killer Instinct, to be honest.
There you go. Where the hell is Killer Instinct?
122.
Which Killer Instinct is that?
The new one.
2013, apparently.
That's the one that was probably really good, but is not played.
Yeah, I'm just like, there's so many. Like, would I don't know whether I would, like.
What's up, Bob?
How about between Maniac Mansion and Lara Beau? Because Maniac Mansion basically really just kind of revolutionized graphic adventure genre. You gotta admit that.
What I do like about this one is that I like that it is kind of a light, friendly community kind of game. That's very welcoming, that it really does cross to a different kind of person and player. It's not, you know, it's not a very standard sort of game.
It dares to be different.
I think it works much better than I thought it would. I was like, how is this game going to work? And I'm like, oh, okay, that's how it's going to work. Well, that's fair enough. That works.
I guess...
I don't know if I'd put it that high, but I don't know, because it's my... General,
like, this is genuinely a game that you can just get together with every week and with, you know, just like two or three other friends and just have a completely like different wild ride every week.
I don't know, but I don't know whether it's going to be like a unique enough kind of fun to do it every week.
It is. I've played through this game over 10 times and I look forward to it every single time. One of my friends is like, hey, anyone up for Monster Party? I'm like, oh, absolutely.
I believe that about you. I'm talking about everybody. Like, I'm just...
it's a struggle.
It's weird because it just... That's really high for a game that has good ideas and deserves...
Well, implemented good ideas.
And deserves, you know...
Definitely deserves to be checked out.
A lot of things. Yeah, and if this sounds interesting, I think we've already got your attention. It's doing pretty well for itself. I think it's... I'd heard of it before I played it, so it's something.
My struggle with this one is basically, I think it does exactly what it's trying to do. And when I try and think in my mind, how would I improve this? How would I change this? I'm very like, I wouldn't probably. This is,
well,
I wouldn't change it.
I can deliver the good news that they have in fact been working on a sequel, which is basically my summer at Monster Camp or something like that.
Yeah. So I don't know what that's going to be like. Three separate games. I have a feeling it's going to be a lot. I don't know what that's going to be.
All right. So we've got the high. We've got the highest possible ranking. Who thinks they've got the lowest besides me?
I mean, doesn't that just basically be me? Because Bomb was going to put it below like Laura Bowen.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm okay with that.
I've scrolled down a little bit. I'm just trying to. Okay. Ranger X is 195. I like Ranger X.
I put it above Ranger X.
You put it above Ranger X. Fair enough. Blue Stinger, yeah, I like Blue Stinger. This is pretty good.
Well, would Xerxes last get away with that, though?
Well, I don't have a choice. If I'm outvoted, I'm outvoted.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's not... Like, I don't...
We've got it. Yeah. We've got a visual novel-ish thing at 183, which is 999, or 9-person, 9 hours, 9 doors.
I gotta admit, that game was pretty damn weird and did hold my attention. Whereas this one, I just felt like I'd seen the joke before. Like,
I think it's a good time for a couple hours, this game, and then it's a good time for a couple of hours a little later on. I think that's good. It's not something that it's trying to make you play it for, like, 6 days straight.
For me, mostly, I just feel like it's a pretty okay at what it attempts to do, like, but I kind of just want to see the innovations that it did and the stuff it did really well, and like the inclusivity and kind of the fun factor of like the multiplayer elements, and just push that forward somehow in some other game. I just don't feel like it's really that, other than those things which do make it special, and I think do like put it like I can see the top,
all right,
200, but I don't.
New thought here though, I'm looking at the 160s. There are like a lot of like high number sequels around there, and I'd say this game is more original than that. We think original accounts for a lot around here, right? So we can put it above 160.
We do.
Can't we?
Okay, I'll do that.
I can bleed out around the 160s.
I mean,
okay. So what about because there is like ActRaiser, R-Type, Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, Strange Journey, Crash Bandicoot 2. Well, I know I like it better than that. So.
I knew you were going to say that.
You're pushing it up now. So, it must be stopped.
Rayman 2, The Great Escape. Oh, my God. This show is terrible. I resign. I retire. How did that? I can't even. I must have blocked that out of my memory. Okay, I can't base it on that. I can't base it on that, because that's just absurdly
I woke up in a bizarro world. People hate this good game.
It's not good. Rayman 2, why did you rank it 148?
What lunatic did we have on that episode to back you up? That must have been a coin toss. That's got
to
be.
Okay, so I know we can put above Rayman 2, then. We can maybe
No. I will refuse to let Rayman 2's insanity.
I'm totally fine with it being above Rayman 2, because I did say within the 150 bracket, minimum.
Okay, all right. So, above Rayman 2 is Planescape Torment. I know somebody here likes that game.
I can't put it above Planescape Torment. That's too much.
Yeah.
That's a bridge too far.
That's the funny thing to me. Planescape Torment would be so much better if it were in visual novel format like this game.
I would
like to see a lot of those characters just getting it on. But, I'm for putting it as high as I could possibly go is at the new 148 above Rayman 2.
Just put it there. We have this.
I'll do it.
Too much. Too long.
Yeah, that's it. All right, that's where it goes. So,
good.
It goes below Planescape Torment, above Rayman 2, The Great Escape for some reason. Thanks, everybody. If this game sounded pretty good to you, you should definitely check it out. If it sounded kind of meh, recommend it to a friend who might like it. How about that? Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next time. That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HD Discord, but most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.